Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Breath, The New Science of a Lost Art by James Nestor is a 220 work of popular science and health journalism about one of the most automatic yet neglected human functions. Nestor, a science journalist known for reporting on the limits of human performance, investigates breathing through physiology, anthropology, medical history, sports practice, and self-experimentation. The book argues that modern people often breathe in ways that are inefficient or harmful, especially through chronic mouth breathing, shallow respiration, and excessive air intake. Rather than presenting breath as a mystical wellness subject, Nestor frames it as a trainable biological process shaped by airway structure, nervous system response, carbon dioxide tolerance, and cultural habits. Its purpose is both explanatory and practical to show why nasal, slower, and more controlled breathing matters, while tracing how older traditions and newer research converge on similar principles. The result is a readable investigation that sits between science writing, self-improvement, and medical curiosity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, nasal breathing is presented as a functional health advantage, not a minor preference. A central argument of breath is that the nose is not simply an alternate route for air, but a specialized organ for conditioning respiration. Nestor contrasts nasal breathing with mouth breathing to show how the path of air can affect filtration, humidity, pressure, and the rhythm of breathing itself. The book emphasizes that nasal breathing supports more controlled airflow and is associated with functions such as nitric oxide production in the nasal passages, which has been studied in relation to circulation and oxygen uptake. By contrast, chronic mouth breathing is treated as a pattern that can encourage dryness, snoring, disturbed sleep, and inefficient respiration. Nestor uses personal experimentation, including periods of forced mouth breathing, to make the contrast vivid, though the broader point does not depend only on his experience. The reasoning is anatomical. If the body has a complex nasal airway, turbinates, sinuses, and filtration structures, bypassing them changes the respiratory process. The book, therefore, turns a commonplace habit into a serious health question. Its practical implication is simple but not trivial. Many readers may need to notice whether they habitually breathe through the mouth during sleep, exercise, stress, or ordinary rest. Secondly, the book reframes oxygen efficiency through carbon dioxide tolerance and slower breathing. Nestor challenges the common assumption that better breathing means taking in more air. Breath repeatedly argues that many modern people overbreathe, taking frequent shallow breaths that can disturb the balance between oxygen and carbon dioxide. The book explains carbon dioxide not merely as waste, but as part of the mechanism that helps oxygen move from blood into tissues. In this framework, breathing less, breathing slower, and extending exhalation can improve respiratory efficiency by training the body to tolerate higher carbon dioxide levels without panic. Nestor connects this idea to freedivers, athletes, and older breathing disciplines that use breath holds, reduced breathing, or controlled cadence. The logic is physiological. The sensation of air hunger is strongly influenced by carbon dioxide buildup, not only by lack of oxygen. If that tolerance can be trained, a person may respond more calmly to exertion and stress. The book often points to a slow resting rhythm, including roughly balanced inhales and exhales, as a target for calming the nervous system. This topic is one of the most useful parts of the book because it moves beyond slogans about deep breathing and explains why bigger breaths are not always better breaths. Thirdly, modern facial development and airway narrowing are treated as an evolutionary and cultural problem. One of the distinctive features of breath is that it does not treat poor breathing only as an individual habit. Nestor explores the possibility that changes in human diet, jaw development, posture, and modern lifestyle have contributed to smaller mouths, crowded teeth, and narrower airways. This argument draws from anthropology, dentistry, orthodontic history, and observations of skull structure. The book suggests that softer processed foods and reduced chewing demands may influence jaw growth, which in turn can affect the space available for the tongue and airway. Whether every claim is equally settled scientifically, the larger reasoning is coherent. Breathing depends on physical structure, and structure is shaped by development over time. This allows Nestor to connect snoring, sleep apnea, mouth breathing, and orthodontic crowding to a broader pattern rather than treating them as unrelated complaints. The topic also gives the book historical depth. Instead of offering only exercises, it asks why a species that depends on breathing may have become so vulnerable to dysfunctional breathing patterns. This perspective is especially important because it implies that breathing problems can be developmental, environmental, and cultural, not merely matters of willpower or personal discipline. Fourthly, ancient breathing practices are examined through a modern physiological lens. Breath is notable for taking practices such as pranayama, tummo, and other controlled breathing traditions seriously without presenting them only as spiritual rituals. Nestor is interested in why different cultures developed methods involving slow breathing, breath retention, forceful exhalation, humming, or rhythmic patterns. The book compares these traditions with contemporary research in pulmonology, psychology, biochemistry, and performance science. Its strongest contribution is not to prove that every ancient claim is correct, but to show that many older techniques were built around real physiological levers, autonomic regulation, carbon dioxide tolerance, nasal airflow, diaphragm mechanics, and stress response. This approach makes the book accessible to readers who may be skeptical of wellness language, but curious about measurable bodily effects. Nestor also avoids limiting breathing to meditation. He connects breathwork to sleep, exercise, anxiety, voice, endurance, and recovery, making the subject broader than relaxation alone. The practical reasoning is that breathing is one of the few bodily processes that is both automatic and voluntarily adjustable. Because it sits at that boundary, deliberate breathing can influence systems that otherwise feel outside conscious control. The book, therefore, uses ancient practices as a research archive rather than as decorative history. Lastly, its strength is investigative synthesis. While its limitation is uneven evidentiary certainty, breath works best as an investigative synthesis rather than as a formal clinical manual. Nestor combines interviews, laboratory visits, historical research, personal trials, and reports from practitioners to build a broad case that breathing deserves more scientific and public attention. This method makes the book readable and memorable because abstract mechanisms are tied to concrete experiments and real-world contexts. However, the same method also creates a limitation. Some sections rely on emerging research, anecdotal cases, or claims that may not yet have the same level of medical consensus as better established topics such as sleep apnea or nasal obstruction. A careful reading requires separating the most solid principles from the more speculative possibilities. The most defensible lessons are relatively modest nasal breathing matters. Slow breathing can affect nervous system state, overbreathing may be problematic, and airway structure can influence health. More dramatic claims about disease reversal or broad therapeutic power should be treated cautiously and discussed with medical professionals when relevant. This balance is part of the book value. It opens a neglected field to general readers, but it also invites critical thinking about how popular science translates preliminary findings into practical advice. In conclusion, Breath is well suited to readers interested in health, physiology, sleep, athletic performance, stress regulation, yoga, meditation, or the everyday mechanics of the body. It is especially useful for people who snore, habitually mouth breathe, feel curious about breath work, or want a clearer explanation of why slow nasal breathing appears across many traditions. Its practical benefit is that it turns breathing from an invisible reflex into an observable skill. Readers can come away with specific questions to examine in daily life how they breathe at rest, during exercise, during sleep, and under stress. Its intellectual benefit is broader. The book shows how anatomy, culture, evolution, and behavior intersect in a function usually treated as too basic to analyze. Compared with many wellness books, it stands out because it is reported as a journalistic investigation rather than written only as a program or doctrine. Compared with technical respiratory texts, it is far more accessible and narrative-driven. Its weakness is that some claims need cautious interpretation, but its strength is its ability to make a neglected subject legible and compelling. The book is most valuable when read as a well-researched invitation to awareness and experimentation, not as a substitute for medical diagnosis or treatment. If you would like to support James Nestor, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.